For our Bible reading, let's turn to the letter of 1 Peter. The letter written by the Apostle Peter to an assortment of congregations that he referred to as those scattered. I think he's talking about the sheep of God who are scattered abroad but who believe the gospel. Let's read a few verses here in 1 Peter and chapter 5. He speaks to the pastors of the various congregations. He calls them the elders. The elders which are among you, in verse 1, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now he begins to tell them what he wants to say. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, we come before your presence as the Almighty God. We bow before you, trusting that you'll meet with us, that you'll reveal your word to us, make your truth known to us, your gospel, your Son. Now, would you bless our gathering, bless those who are not with us today and those who are watching by some electronic means, that your word would go forth with power and persuasion, and all of your sheep would hear with an attentive ear. Now bless us all, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn again to John chapter 10. I want to continue our study. We are normally in the second hour, we're in Hebrews, but we want to let that wait just a little bit. I want to finish up some thoughts here in this 10th chapter. As we are studying the great I Ams, I remind you that Jesus said, I am before Abraham was, in John chapter 8. He said, I am the bread of life, in John chapter 6. He said, I am the light of the world, in the 8th chapter. And then here in this 10th chapter, we have seen that he said, I am the door. And now in this hour, where he said, I am the good shepherd. So I want you to look with me in verse number 11. I'm sorry. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Again, he said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and known of mine. And as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. I love that phrase, them I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now in verses 10 through verse 13, we see both comfort and conflict. He speaks of a thief. He speaks of a thief who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. That speaks of conflict. But we also see in that same passage comfort. I am the door. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I am the good shepherd. When he said, I am the good shepherd, he means I am the good shepherd in comparison and in contrast to all those bad shepherds who've gone before me. Many places in the Old Testament do we find references to those who are misleading or false shepherds. Listen to what Ezekiel said in the 34th chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, that's the pastors of Israel. Prophesy, saying, and woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should they not the shepherds feed the flocks? In other words, the purpose of a shepherd isn't to feed himself, but it is to feed the flock. And then God through Ezekiel continued in that same passage, and he said, For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep, and I will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I can tell you when I was in my 30s, I was in a cloudy and a dark day. And God in His sovereignty sought me out and brought me to the gospel of God's free grace, this sovereign grace that is more than just a doctrinal system. It is the gospel of the way God saves His sheep. Good shepherds in the Old Testament are a type of Christ. For example, Abel is called the keeper of the sheep in Genesis 4 and verse 2. Jacob said to his uncle Laban, "I will feed, I will keep your flock." The first time we see Joseph, what was he doing? It tells us in Genesis 37 he was feeding the flock. When Moses fled out of Egypt, he went off to live on the backside of the desert, and he was satisfied to stay on the backside of the desert. And when we see him, the first thing it says of him is he kept the flock of Jethro. Of David, it says this, "David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after them and sought him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I slew him." So these good shepherds are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus also spoke of these Pharisees as being what are referred to in Zechariah as idle shepherds. Idle not in terms of being lazy, though there is much of that, but it's idol, that is shepherds who are actually idol worshipers. They have a religion of trinkets. They have a religion of images. They carried forth with in our day with crosses and images and plays. They're idle shepherds, he calls them. And so listen to what he said. He said, "Woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock." He's not going to both be a leader of the flock. That word flock is important. And also be an idle shepherd. And these are false shepherds who by their devious doctrine, which is an antichrist doctrine. Well, it's in the abyss of these false shepherds and false teachers and false prophets who came the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in the midst of these false shepherds, "I am the good shepherd. I stand in contrast to you. I am the good shepherd." He means the ones distinguished from the national shepherds of the national Israel. He came to be the shepherd of the spiritual and elect Israel, the Israel of promise, the one typified by the patriarchs of the faith, such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one typified and appointed to be called and sent by the Heavenly Father. Isaiah is spoken of, Jesus is spoken of by Isaiah in chapter 40 when he says, "He, Christ, shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, shall carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Christ came to be the divine shepherd, the gracious and the merciful shepherd, saying the good shepherd, notice this, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's his work. That's what he came to do. He gave his life for the shepherd. The word good is a word that means constitutionally good, naturally good, within good. It expresses beauty and harmony and completeness, balance, proportion, entirely worthy. Good shepherd. And he gives. The word gifts means to place. So it's used, a word used in many places, many times. And it's to place or to set. And he set himself as a sacrifice. Here it's translated, he laid down. He placed himself as a sacrifice. No man took his life. He placed it. He laid it down. Oh yes, he bowed himself into the hands of these evil prophets, these false religious leaders, these political leaders who will eventually nail him to the cross, but they were simply the means, but he laid himself down. Now when it says that he laid down his life, it means more than just his physical life. He didn't use the word zoe, which is a word for physical life, but the word psuche, and that is a word that means the body and the mind and the heart and the soul. He laid down all that he was. He laid himself down that he might become the sacrifice to fulfill and satisfy all the demands of the life. We see God's goodness in all of this, that he laid himself down. In Isaiah 53 and 10, it says that it pleased the Lord to to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, to make his soul an offering, notice this, for the cause of sin. The little preposition you pair, it means in the place of, for the sake of, in the room of, in the stead of, as the substitute. He gave himself, notice, for the sheep. In John 17:9, he says that I sanctify myself. In other words, I set apart myself and I lay down my body and my soul and my mind and all that I am in behalf of those that the Father gave to me. Now, when he says the sheep, Jesus intended those that are in contrast to the sheepfold. Not the sheep of the sheepfold, but the sheep. I give myself for them, and he identified them as the sheep all the way through here. You must see this contrast of the sheep in contrast to the sheepfold. The sheep are sold by election before the foundation of the world. They are sold by redemption at the cross. And they are sold by the effectual call of grace in time and experience by the blessed Spirit of God. Now in verse 12, if you'll look at that verse, he that is an hireling, that is hired to watch over the sheep, he's not a shepherd at all. He's just hired to do a job. He's not a shepherd of the sheep. Whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. And what does he do when he sees the wolf coming? He leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf then catches the sheep and he scatters the sheep. That would have been a very common thing to have seen in that day. He is a hireling, typical of the unfaithful ministers who translate themselves into ministers of righteousness, but Paul said are truly ministers of Satan. They love not, but despise the gospel of free grace. They feed on the system of requirements and conditions and works. They hate, or perhaps are ignorant of this truth of the righteousness of God imputed to the account of his people for their justification at the cross. But when they hear it, they spurn it. They turn from it. They reject it. And he says of them, they are not the shepherd. But listen to the tenderness of Peter as I read a few moments ago. He tells the elders to feed the flock of God, not taking oversight with constraint, but willingly, to be done out of the heart. I've been your pastor for a long time, and I say to you, I do it willingly. I do it gladly. I do it from my heart to be your servant, to stand by your side, to try to protect you in all the ways that I possibly can. That is my work, and I do it willingly from the heart. But notice that he said, whose sheep they are not. Jesus intended not the sheep of those who are other than the redemption, but he talks about those sheep that are his. Then look at verse 13. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. He is an idle shepherd. This one right here, when exposed to falsehood and danger, to the devil himself, they flee. They're not invested in the truth or the sheep or in the shepherd himself. But their heart, they are exposed to light. When they are, they choose the darkness. He cares not for the sheep. Look at that at the end of verse 13. He cares not for the sheep. That's not his concern. His interest is not genuine. It's not true. It's not from the heart, but it's devoid and it's empty. Look at verse 14. Again, he says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. How long has he known them, I ask you? How long has he known his sheep? Well, he's known them from before the foundation of the world. They're the Father's by choice before the foundation of the world. They are his by redemption, and they are the Spirit's by awakening. He knows them by predestination. He knows them by providence. He knows them by preservation. He knows them affectionately. He knows them lovingly. He knows them to instruct them and to assist them and to help them all the way through. How different this is from the ones that he spoke of as those false prophets saying, I never knew you. If he's known his people from the foundation of the world and he says, I've never known you, that word never is made of three words. And it means not even at any time have I ever known you. It's a double negative like saying no, never. So he never knew them by election. He never knew them by redemption. He never knew them by the shedding of his blood. He never knew them by the calling of grace. He doesn't know them in preservation. He will not know them in glorification. He says, I never knew you, and I will never know you, is what he's saying. Not at any point in time. But then he also says here, and I am known of mine, in verse 14. I know them, and I am known of mine. Jesus intended not just generally, but in a special way, in a spiritual way, in a saving way. His own people are his delight. They have fellowship with him, and he with them. They know him as the good shepherd by his death. They know him as the great shepherd by his resurrection. It says in Hebrews 13 and 20, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. We know him as the great shepherd by his resurrection. But we also know him as the chief shepherd, as we read a few moments ago, when the chief shepherd shall appear. So he is the good shepherd by his death. He is the great shepherd by his resurrection. And he is the chief shepherd by his return. He is coming again. They know him as the sovereign of the universe. They know him as their Lord. They know him as their Savior. They know him in the completeness of his suffering, put unto death to bear their sin to exhaustion. They know him in his righteousness, and they know him by the title, the Lord our righteousness. Now look at verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. So how does the Father know the Son? Well, he knows him, of course, as his eternal equal, to look at him in the eternals. But here he's talking about knowing him in a redemptive way. So he had to lay down his life for the sheep. Did Paul not say, for when we were yet were sinners without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure. For a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, regarded as sinners, not justified, but regarded as sinners, not justified before time, but regarded as sinners, he died for us. And in that death was the righteousness earned by which God justified. Again, he used that preposition for in the place of, in the set of, as a substitute for. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Then look what he said in verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. When he says that, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. He's been talking about the Jews that would be brought out, such as Paul and Peter. But now I have other sheep that I'll bring out. That's the Gentiles. And all through this time now, for these 20 centuries, here we are in this, now the this 2018, and the Lord is calling out his sheep to himself and making himself known to his sheep in every generation that they would come to him. I have the other sheep that are not of this fold, not of this sheepfold. Them I must bring. I'm not even saying I might bring. I must bring. He's not saying that's a possibility. I'll bring them. I must bring them. That's his mission. He came into the world to fulfill it. I must bring them. And they shall hear my voice. Not just in a general way, but in a particular way, a definite way, an enlightening way, a saving from darkness way. But there's also a play on words here. I want you to see this play on words that is used. When he refers to the fold here, he's talking about the sheepfold like he did back in verse 1. When he said, he that enters in by the door into the sheepfold, and that's a sheep farm. So he said, they are not of this sheep farm. Them I must bring, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock. That's the word flock. It's not translated flock, but it's a different word. And that is the word flock. And there is one shepherd. The one shepherd has a flock. He's not the shepherd of the sheep farm. He is the shepherd of the flock. And that's what he means to say by this very particular way. Listen to Jesus as he speaks in Matthew 26. Then said Jesus unto them, all you that are offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd. Talk about Jesus being smitten. And the sheep of the flock, now that's a proper translation, shall be scattered abroad. And the flock was shed abroad, were scattered abroad, and they preached the gospel everywhere. I love that picture here. We have a flock, and we have a sheepfold, and there are many goats in the sheepfold, but the sheep come out. Some of us were a part of it one time, but we came out, and now we're a part of that flock. Oh, we may be small in number, but we're following after that shepherd, no matter how many there are. Verse 17, therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. So now he's gone from knowing to loving. So he's moved from knowing me to loves me. The Father loves the Son as his equal. Now he loves the Son in his mission to save his people that he chose before time. Then verse 18, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In life and death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus remains sovereign. Do you know that he was ruling the world while he was in his mother's womb? He was. Do you know that he was ruling the world while he was hanging on the cross? He was. Do you know that he was ruling the world while his body was in the grave for 3 days? He was. He was ruling the world then. He's ruling the world now. Make no mistake about it. He is sovereign. He declared this temple, in 3 days I will raise it again. They thought he spoke of the great temple of Herod, but no, he spoke of his own body. And he said, this body I will raise again. Even in death, he is sovereign. This commandment Jesus is speaking of here, he speaks of the mission for which he came. And now he John begins to tell us from verse 19 how they responded to him. Some said in verse 20, he's mad. Some say he had a devil. Others argued, no, he can't have a devil and do what he did. But then in verse 22, when he came to Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, so this would make it December, the Feast of Dedication is winter. And Jesus walked on the temple, Solomon's porch, verse 23. Now verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. They wanted him to tell it in words they could understand. But you remember that he spoke in parables so that only his people could understand. And so we know that he is the Lord over even the revelation of all things. Well, I want to close with looking at both a promise that we see here and a warning. I want you to first of all see the warning in verse 25. I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's the purpose of all of his healings and all of his miracles. It is to bear witness of his person and his work. It's a witness of me. But you believe not because you are not my sheep. Now listen to those words carefully. They believe not because they are not his sheep. He didn't say, you believe not, therefore you are not my sheep. But you believe not because you are not my sheep. Not being his sheep, that was so because of God's determination before time, because of what Christ would do at the cross, and the Spirit of God is not giving them faith to believe the gospel. You cannot pound one into being a sheep. You cannot browbeat one into being a sheep. You cannot convince them into being a sheep. They are a sheep if God chooses them to be a sheep. And they will hear the voice and they will come. And they will know him and they will love him, Jesus said. It's a warning that he's given here. I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, you believe not because you are not my sheep. That is all these Pharisees that are here. But then here's the promise. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep will always hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Now this word never is a word that means not at any time or any age. Simply at any time can you possibly be plucked from my Father's hand. You can never perish. If you are his, if you are one of his sheep, you cannot be lost. You will not be lost. You will not depart. You may stray some, but you will never depart. You will always come back. His sheep will always persevere, and he will always preserve, and he will always keep them. And Jesus is making a wonderful promise. I declare to you, He is the good shepherd, and I declare to you, His flock is safe. Let's pray together. Our Father, we beg, as your sheep, and you as our shepherd, that you would make this truth known to us, that we would find some rest from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bless us as we partake of the elements of the Lord's table, and then to share a meal together. Bless all who are not with us. May Christ be honored, who is the Lord our righteousness. May your gospel be revealed to those who listen. For the sake of Christ, we pray. Amen.